It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please won't you be my neighbor? Hi. Did you have a good weekend? Well, I did. Saw a lot of people playing pianos this weekend. So I thought, why not talk about pianos? Can you imagine why I might have brought this? This is a flashlight. It's a light that flashes on and off. On and off. So it's flashlight. Take a look inside the piano, all right? Now these right in here are called hammers, and the little hammers hit the strings. Those are the strings right over there. See if I can make it play. A different hammer. Don't need the flashlight for out here. Close the lid. And here's a special. Something that I bet you've never seen before. I hadn't seen one. It's one key and it follows back here. All the different things that happen when you press down this key on the piano. See that? All this moving right in here. And then finally the hammer hits the string. This isn't a real string, so it doesn't play. But look at all these little moving parts. See them? Do you ever wonder how people made real pianos? I've often wondered that. Why don't we just ask Picture Picture to show us? Yeah, it takes a lot of people to make a piano. Picture Picture on the wall, would you kindly show us all how people make real pianos? First goes in the sounding board, and then the iron frame that's the support for the piano goes in. Now that metal pattern marks where the pegs are for the strings to be put. The frame again. See it up, going up on a pulley? The insides of the piano are called the belly of the piano. Now this man is stringing the piano. There are different sizes of wire. Do you notice the tape on his fingers? Those aren't bandages. Those are just to protect his fingers. That man is the best stringer that the factory has. He winds the strings around the tuning pegs. And each one of those strings goes in separately. Piano parts are all together. They put in that part of it with all the keys. And each one of them is tested so carefully. Those hammers. Those are little needles that he's using on the hammers, and that softens the hammers to give them a little softer tone. Goes the keyboard again. Trying each note. Stamps his name on it, on that slip of paper, and everybody who has worked on that piano has his name stamped on it. Now the piano's getting polished. Thank you very much, Picture Picture. You're welcome, Mr. Rogers. Isn't that interesting? So many things that people do to make things for us that we don't really realize. Pianos are very fancy. All of them are fancy on the inside. Many are fancy on the outside, too. Just like all of us, we're fancy. Some are fancy on the outside. Some are fancy on the inside. Yes, sir. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mummies. Only boys can be the daddies. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. I think you're a special person, and I like your ins and outsides. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. What did you say? Oh, why, it surely is. Thank you. Hello. How are you, Miss Polifke? We certainly were talking about pianos. Are you thinking about pianos, too? In the music room, a very special guest, Van Cliburn. Why, we'd like very much to see him and hear him play. Yes, will you count to 13 with me? Okay, and then we'll go to the music room. 1, 2, 3, 4,
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the music room with Van Cliburn.
Excellent, excellent, Mr. Oh, what a pleasure to have you in my music room again.
Well, it's a great pleasure to be here again.
Oh, I remember the day when you first came back from the foreign fields, and you came to me and told me about all of those times.
Oh, yes, and I know that it was a great thrill for me to hear about all the people that had heard and met Keaton Friday, when you made your long world tour.
Yes, you did hear about me from kings and presidents.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yes, lovely. You weren't always such a tall man, were you?
No, I have pictures to prove that I was not only a little baby, but a very small boy.
A very small boy, and you didn't always play that fancily, did you?
How old were you, sir, when you started taking piano?
Well, I was about 6, but I understand that you were even younger.
Well, mine was rather much of an accident.
Oh.
Because my mother was a teacher,
yes,
and as well as a concertizing pianist.
Yes.
And I used to listen to a lot of the young children being taught in our house. And I know that after a particular young boy had had his lesson, I had been listening very closely to what he was playing.
Yes.
And at the time, I was about 4. And when he left, my mother had gone to the back, the kitchen or someplace, and I had gone to the piano in the music room and was picking out by ear a little piece that he had been playing.
That he had been playing?
Yes, that he had been playing.
You had listened to it and then
yes,
decided just with your fingers.
Yes.
Oh, I would love to.
Shall I show you what it was?
Oh, would you please?
I hope I remember it. It went something like this. Of course, you realize that I couldn't reach the pedal yet.
Oh.
Nice little tune. And then there was a middle part. Yes, and my mother was very surprised. And she came into the room, and before she got to the room, she was calling. Now, Sammy, you better go home because your mother will be worried. And then she came in and saw me playing. And she says, well, you hadn't told me that you were interested in music. And then she said, if you were that interested, then I'll give you regular systematic lessons.
And you began to learn and practice?
And I began to study and to practice. And I know I was playing shortly thereafter, the first prelude and fugue of Johann Sebastian Bach,
yes,
and also some of the 2- and 3-part inventions of Bach.
Oh, and these are things that you begin with.
Yes.
Oh, how I never got that far myself.
Oh, not really?
Yes, I was always able to call in all the court musicians and for some reason didn't work very hard at my practicing. And so I'm pleased that you did, however. Very pleased. Oh, look who's coming.
Oh, I just knew it must be you, oh, Mr. Clavis.
Oh, Lady Sarah, I'm very, very happy to see you.
Would you take your record,
oh,
please?
Yes.
I remember that record so well when you came back from Russia.
Yes, well, this is really very, very kind of you to remember, and I'm just so honored that you have a copy.
Well, I thought maybe after a bit we might be able to go into the recording room and listen to it, but it was the Tchaikovsky number one concerto.
Yes.
Oh, was it an exciting time when
it
you played it?
It was a very, very thrilling time, I must say.
Oh, it must have been after all those years of hard work, Mr. Clark.
And King Friday, you know, at this particular time... In 1958, it was.
Yes.
At the time of the competition, Her Majesty, Queen Elizabeth, the Queen Mother of Belgium, was there. And she was very, very encouraging.
Oh, I remember her. She would have liked your playing, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, she
was. She was a very great lady.
Yes.
Mr. Clyburn... Have you heard Mr. Clyburn play right here in the music room?
Well, no, I just thought I heard strains of it, and I could tell his touch.
Yes, perhaps you'd give Sarah Saturday something, loving. As a
well, I don't know what would be appropriate, but I know that in the middle of the 19th century, there was a particularly wonderful... wonderful song. In Germany, they call it Lieder, that Robert Schumann wrote to his new bride, Clara Wieck. You remember that story, I know, Your Majesty.
Oh, it was a touching story.
Yes. And this song is called Widmung, rather in English, dedication. And it's, as I will play it, is a transcription by Franz Liszt, the famous Hungarian composer.
Yes.
So, with your permission and your wish, I will be very happy to play the Liszt transcription of Widmung by Robert Schumann.
Oh,
and may I add also that it's a very interesting story that Clara Wieck's father was a professor of music and wanted his very lovely daughter to marry someone who was not involved in music, especially in composition, because in those days, composers were very poor, and they had to work very hard. And Robert Schumann, didn't have a lot of money, and Mr. Wieck did not want to have his daughter marry someone who would be so penniless. And it seems that she disobeyed her father and married him anyway. And the only thing he had to give his lovely little bride was this song. So this is their wedding present that he gave to Clara Wieck.
A touching story, is it not?
Oh, very touching. I'd
love
to.
Well, I'll play a few measures of it.
Thank you so much. Given that to us for a gift, has he not?
Oh, it was beautiful, Mr. Clavin.
Oh, thank you.
Would you come with us to the tea room?
Well, it would be my pleasure.
We could have more talk and some tea.
Excellent.
Oh, I'd love that. Come along. I have some things all ready for you then.
Oh, yes, it's a pleasure to have her.
11, 12, 13. Oh, what a treat. And after a lot and lot of practice, Mr. Clyburn got to be one of the world's most famous pianists. Oh, there's somebody at the door. Yes, coming. Coming.
Hello, Lady Eberlin. Rogers.
Did you know that Van Clyburn is at your uncle's castle?
No.
Yes, playing the piano for him.
Oh, isn't that great? I have been so busy, I can't find my earmuffs anywhere. Would you have a pair I could borrow?
Earmuffs? I think so. Come along.
Thank you.
I'll find some earmuffs here for you.
Are you
planning to be a snow lady today or something?
Oh, no. No, they're for Don Quixote. It's very noisy at someplace else, and he just can't sleep at all.
Oh, you're planning to use them to cover his ears?
What?
You're planning to use them to cover his ears, are
you? Yes. Oh, and they work.
They sure do.
Oh, thanks so much, Mr. Rogers.
You're very welcome. There they are for you.
Good. This way I can hear.
Going to someplace else, huh?
Yes, going to someplace else. Henrietta gave me directions.
Oh, good.
So I'll just get there.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye, Mr. Rogers.
Have a good time at someplace else. Someplace else. Why don't we just pretend that we're going to someplace else with her, okay? Close your eyes and then we'll go to someplace else. And there they are. Hey, huh? Is that you, Lady Eplane?
Yes, dear, it is. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm tired. Boy, very tired.
Well, why are you tired today? You went to bed early last night.
Yeah, but I didn't get any sleep early.
Having trouble sleeping? Well, that's funny. So am I.
But you're the one who's keeping me awake.
I'm keeping you awake? How could I be doing that?
Hi, neighbors. Well,
I brought some
earmuffs for Don Quixote.
Oh, have you got cold ears, Donkey?
No, I've been trying to tell you. I just can't sleep because of the noise you've been making at night.
What kind of noise do you make
at
night?
Well, it's not noise at all. I just thought people might be lonesome, so I just tuned my pianos here.
But nighttime's the time for sleeping, Lady Elaine.
Yeah, you're right, Lady Eberlin.
Yeah.
Let me try the earmuffs.
Oh, sure. Here.
Yeah, thanks. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Peace and quiet. Peace and quiet.
Well, you may want peace and quiet, but I don't. I like a lively time myself.
Do you ever get lonesome sometimes at night, Lady Elaine?
Me? Why, of course not. I just thought maybe somebody else might.
Somebody else in someplace else.
That's right. Somebody else in someplace else.
Somebody else.
You know, business is slow here.
Yes.
Not one person's been here for a week.
Okay. Yeehaw,
I can't hear either one of you saying anything.
Do you want me to take off your earmuffs, Don Quixote?
Pardon me?
I say, do you want me to take off your earmuffs?
If you'd take off my earmuffs, I think I could hear you better, Lady Eberlin.
They really work well, don't they?
Oh, nice and quiet, Nice and quiet.
I really think that you two have to figure out some rules about the noise here.
I can make as much noise as I want.
Right, just as long as you don't bother your neighbor.
What do you mean?
Well, being a neighbor is thinking about what the people near you might like.
Yeehaw, and I'm your closest neighbor here at someplace else, Lady Elaine.
You sure are, dear.
And boy, was I glad when you brought your camp here.
You really were?
Yeah.
Yeehaw, sure I was.
But you weren't glad to hear piano tuning. At night.
No, I was lonely, being the only one here, and she came and brought all of her tents. Boy, that was neat. But I sure don't like that piano
just
tuning
piano
at night.
Just piano tuning, then.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, I guess so, dear. Maybe I could tune the pianos in the daytime.
Well, why don't you do that, Lady Elaine? That would be a good neighborly idea.
Yeah, but if I get too many to tune, maybe you all could come over and help me.
Well, I don't know how to tune a piano, Lady Elaine. I mean, I think it must take quite a long time for people to learn to do something like that.
Well, I just sort of do it, you know.
Oh.
I must get back to it now.
Oh.
I think I'll just have the earmuffs on a little while and get a midday nap.
Surely.
Okay?
Yes.
Thanks.
Yes. There.
Thank you.
They belong to Mr. I say, they belong to Mr. Rogers, but you may borrow them, Donkey.
Thanks.
For a little while.
For a while of piano tuning.
Yes, Donkey.
That's great. Thanks. I'll have a little sleep here.
Yes. Well, Lady Elaine, I must be off now.
Yes, what's
going
on? Yes,
because Uncle Friday wants to see some bears tomorrow, some live bears.
Live bears?
Yes, so I've got to find some tame ones to entertain him.
Live bears, keep them away from me.
Oh,
those live bears.
We'd never let anything like that hurt you, Lady Elaine.
That's a good neighbor.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
What did you say?
Bye.
Pardon me?
Goodbye, Don Quixote.
Oh, goodbye, and thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Bye. Take care, Lady Elaine.
Thanks for keeping the bears away, Lady Aberlin. Thanks.
Oh, I'd never want anything like that to hurt you, Lady Elaine.
Well, I wouldn't either, dear. You're true blue. That's what you are. True blue.
Bye, neighbor.
Goodbye. Toot toot.
I guess that would be hard to listen to for a long time, especially at night. Over and over again. Donkey liked the earmuffs, didn't he? Of course, we could put our hands over our ears, but donkeys couldn't put their hoofs over their ears, could they? Well, it's almost time for me to go. I better change my shoes. We'll be together again tomorrow, you and I. Did you enjoy the piano time? I did. Getting to hear Mr. Clyburn play, and then... I wonder what that is with Lady Elaine. Maybe she's concerned about some things at night. Well, we'll find out more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow. We'll start the day tomorrow with a song. Four, two, one, two. Tomorrow, tomorrow. We'll start the day tomorrow with a smile for you. Till then, I hope you're feeling happy. Till then, I hope your day is snappy. Tomorrow, tomorrow, it soon will be tomorrow and be our day. We will say a very happy tomorrow to you. You always make each day such a special day. And tomorrow, they said there are going to be some bears in make-believe. We'll look forward to that, won't we? We'll be together, you and I. See you then. Bye-bye.
Production funds for this series were provided by a grant from the Sears Roebuck Foundation and a children's program fund established by NET-affiliated stations.
This is NET, the National Educational Television Network.